HawkFanatic.com. This segment brought to you by Patrick Eads, his great staff at Deary Brothers Ford on Mormon Trek. Steve Anderson, Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Mike's E-Keys for Cars. GG Carr and his crew at Supple's Building and Remodeling. Supple's Flowers, the home of 1-800-800-ROSE. The Midtown Family Restaurants. Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, 101 South Dubuque Street, downtown Iowa City. Senior Benefits. Wells Fargo Advisors. Premier Automotive in North Liberty. The Oxyoke Inn of the Amanas. Streets Maintenance. McCarran Painting. Dr. Lance Forbes, Diamond Dental in Cedar Rapids, and Big Dog Tech Solutions. Here's Tom Suter, and from HawkFanatic.com, Pat Hardy.
Yes, indeedy, Speedy. It's a beautiful day.
Kick it up a little bit.
It's almost to the top.
Well, good for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are they... Check it later. It sounds fine.
Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is a nice. This is going to have some storms this week, but the temperatures are good. They're in the 80s. So.
Well, that's good. What about the humidity? Or dew point, if you will.
Dew point. Let me check. I don't think it's very high.
Well, good. So it should be a seasonally pleasant week.
Kind of high. 68.
Yeah.
So it's kind of
it's a little high.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So.
All right. Well, Pat, what kind of a weekend did you put together for yourself?
Relaxing. It was good. I saw my sister. Oh. They were passing through on their way to Des Moines with their ultimate destination, the cabin up at Clear Lake. And I met my great-nephew for the first time, CJ, my niece's daughter, Jamie
He's
Morris.
He's an okay nephew.
That's what you call it when it's your niece's. My niece, it's her son. So I guess that's my sister. I asked my sister, what is he to me? And she's, maybe second nephew. I don't know. But I hadn't met him. He's six, and he had a blast climbing the trees in my neighborhood and checking out the creek and what have you. And now I think they're on their way up to Clear Lake today. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, and it was fun. The car didn't turn out to be near as expensive. I mean, nearly $600 is still nearly $600.
That's enough.
Could have been a lot worse. I know that. And of course, my physical went all right on Wednesday, and that's about all I have to say about my life.
Well, I'd say that's all pretty good news.
Yeah, now I'm doing my radon mitigation. I'm setting that up tonight in the house, and then I'll take it. You have to have it up for 12 hours, windows shut. And so then I'll take it tomorrow morning after I get up and mail it off to, I think it's Woodlands, Texas, and they'll tell me how much radon I have in my basement, and then tell me that and they can fix it by putting in a machine for about $3,500, which I won't do that right now, but I will eventually plan on doing that again. I don't hardly spend any time in my basement right now. Nobody's living down there, so it's not as big of a concern. But still, I'm guessing it's going to be high because Iowa seems to be like the radon capital of the world and the cancer capital of the United States right now. And my neighbor's, theirs was fine for 20, 25 years, and all of a sudden it was double what it should be. So,
yikes.
And then other people, oh, it's a scam. No, I don't. Not everything's a scam. I mean, radon's an issue. I got hit hard with radon during the sale of my first house. I had to get all radon. I had to get all that stuff fixed before I could sell my first house, along with asbestos and all this other crap.
I think when we sold our last house, all we had to do was, we had somebody measure the radon. It was okay, so.
Yeah, if it's okay, if mine comes back okay, then I won't have to do anything, but I have a feeling it won't. I mean, it just seems like, and a lot of people are preferring when they buy a house that you have a radon mitigation. A lot of houses do now. Almost all new homes do. So we'll see. We'll test it tonight, see what happens. I should just test it and leave the windows open and cheat, but I wouldn't do that. I've actually known people that have done that before.
Yeah,
you want to get a true and accurate test. It's not fair to the...
Well, they could come back at you, too.
They could. That's fraud.
So I assume radon can do bad things.
It's the second cause of lung cancer behind smoking.
Yikes.
So, yeah, it can do
bad news.
It can do bad things.
Yeah.
Again, if I was living or spending, I go down to my basement twice a month to do laundry, and I'm literally down there for 10 minutes. So, I'm, you know, I've got two doors that shut off the basement, so, but it still can seep upstairs. So, and we do have a, we have William Hughes calling in today. This may be him.
Hello.
Hey, dudes.
You're not William.
I am not. Hey, you do not want to open the windows during a radon test.
It was a joke.
Because it'll jack the levels up.
Yeah, it was a joke.
Okay. All right, no, good.
I've had people tell me just the opposite, that if you open it up, the radon will leak outside and it'll lower your score. I've heard both. So, but no, I was joking. The windows are going to be shut.
Yeah. Now, we had a client one time that... The agent had to go back to the sellers and say, hey, you know, the inspector noticed that your radon is super high from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. So you either need to tell the people buying your house that you were trying to defraud them, or you're going to have to pay for a mitigation system because you opened your windows every night.
No, I had my windows open a couple of days ago just because it was nice out.
Yeah.
I turned my air off and opened up the windows throughout the whole house. But no, they've been shut. They'll be shut from, they're shut now and. I will, but yeah, no, I've always been told that it's fraud because you're going to score lower than it should because the radon is escaping outside the windows, and that's not an accurate report. That's what I've always been told. But either way, it's fraud. So yeah, the windows will be shut when we test it.
Yeah, and this time of year, your levels are actually going to be lower than normal. If the ground was frozen or if the ground is saturated with water...
Which is
neither. Then it tries to come through the house. But right now, everything's bone dry, so your levels are going to be a little bit lower than other times of the year.
Yeah, okay, that's good. But I'm expecting that it's going to be, high. So we'll see. And like I said, once I get the score, I'm not going to go right out and spend almost $4,000 for I'll have to wait a little bit and do a little budgeting and hopefully get it done before the turn of the 26 to 27. So that's not cheap.
You'd have to have some serious problems for it to be more than $2,000.
Well, I've been told
you can probably get it done for $1,500.
Wow, that's not what I've been told by. I better find a different company then. Well, besides,
if your levels are high, we'll find you a good installer.
Okay, I'm using something right, basement services.
Thank you, dude.
I'm using a company called Basement Services out of, I think, Muscatine or something. They're the ones coming out on the 10th to evaluate it. So we'll see.
You know those buildings that fell down?
Yeah.
My attorney that passed away owned them. So I guess his wife owns them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that ain't good.
No, it really is not. No,
this could be our guy. This could be our guy.
Hello.
This is Will Hughes.
Okay.
Hey, Will, good morning.
How was that guest, Tom?
Yeah, good guest. Joining us this morning is Will Hughes, author of Standing Up for the Hawkeyes. So the Hawkeyes need to be stood up for, Will, because you think maybe things weren't done properly in 1960 in selecting the national championship.
And, Will, that's Tom Suter talking to you, the son of Bud Suter. And I know you're a lifelong... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Is that the John Facenda of Iowa sports?
Tom.
Sure.
Well, I want to ask you before we go, what's it like being a hardcore Iowa fan in Omaha? You're president of a company called Nebraska Beef. How do you juggle those two before we dive into this book?
Oh, it's pretty simple. Everybody in Omaha is not too bad, and they're not too – they don't get too arrogant, but occasionally they do.
Now they don't have much to be arrogant about.
No, they don't. Not in the last 20 years.
No, you're right you're right about that. Okay, yeah. Well, this book, I'll have to admit, I've pretty much read the whole thing now. I got it in the mail. I appreciate you sending it to me. And at first I was like, Well, I'm not sure. That 27-10 loss,
that's a tough
one. But then when I look at it more objectively and as the fact that Iowa played 8 ranked opponents out of 9 that year and the fact that Minnesota's schedule was incredibly soft. I think they only played 3, lost to one of them. I mean, I see where you're going with this. So let's hear your argument.
Well, I mean, it's pretty simple. you know, Iowa played probably the toughest. Can you guys ever think of any team that played eight consecutive?
No, that's
ranked teams.
I was not aware of that. No,
yeah, that's ranked teams.
It's pretty unusual.
And actually, seven of them were top 10, and only Wisconsin was number 12.
Yeah, you're right about that.
So, yeah. And so, you know, it was remarkable. And when you consider, you know, the rest of distractions, I'd say, mm-hmm. that they had to deal with, I think it's remarkable what they accomplished. I think the thing that really swung me that way was when, you know, you guys know what it's like when you start to feel that tsunami of support.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you have to remember, in 1960, no Iowa team had ever ascended to the number one position in the AP poll, ever.
Uh-huh. Not an AP, right.
Okay. Yeah, think about that for a second. I mean, that's pretty remarkable. So you can imagine the support that they must have had. And they started off, you know, not even being considered a contender. You know, Coach Evashevsky had to come in and actually, when the Sky Riders were there, actually said to the Sky Riders, Iowa will be a contender. Because they had, a lot of them had said that they would finish in the second division.
Well, they'd only finished 5-4 the year before. So they had kind of taken a little.
That's correct.
So you're right. So there really wasn't a lot of momentum.
They were 5-4, but they also had lost Willie Fleming and Mitch Agigo on the eve of training camp.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Their quarterback and, you know, All-American running back.
Was that Olin Treadway's team, Will?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Olin Treadway. And Wilburn Hollis was enough backup quarterback.
Okay.
And did real well. He was injured a lot of the year, but then he came back for the Minnesota and Ohio State games, which they won both of them. And both Maury Wormuth and Woody Hayes praised, you know, Hollis for his contributions.
Okay, so, Will, I mean, believing this and what have you is one thing and sharing these passionate feelings, but what explain the process of, all right, I'm going to write a book on this. How did that come to be? How did you decide to take it that far?
Well, I thought, like I was just getting ready to say there, was that I lived in Denver when the Broncos went to the Super Bowl in 1977, you know. Mm-hmm. And when something like that happens for the first time, just like how Iowa's getting to number one for the first time, you know, the support is unbelievable. But then as soon as you lose, it disappears as fast as it arose. And so what I found actually really remarkable was when Iowa came back the next week and they're playing the toughest team in the nation, actually, Ohio State. And, you know, Woody Hayes wanted to beat Evie in his last game in Iowa Stadium there. And they laid the biggest loss I think Woody Hayes ever up to that point, 23-point loss, and played, you know, probably one of the greatest games in Iowa history. And to do that after what they'd gone through and to be physically beat up as they were and to be mentally beat up as they were, to come in, I think that was one of the most remarkable performances of all time for any team. Yeah. And so I just thought, you know, it was deserving. It was deserving of, let's take a look at this. Because, you know, if when they took the poll on the last week, I mean, that was this asinine, whoever's idea that was for the AP.
Prior to the Rose Bowl.
The poll. Yeah.
Yeah.
They took it, the last week of the regular season, but it wasn't even that even. So if there were games in December, and plus the pre-January 1st bowl games that occurred, none of those went into effect. And that in that particular year, there were massive upsets. And so, you know, in all the bowl games, you know, Minnesota loses to Washington. And Washington comes in just rated number 6.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The number 2 team is Mississippi. They didn't play anybody even worthy of being in the top 10. Then Iowa was third, and they're not, you know, at that time, only one representative went to the bowl game.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then if you just keep going down the list, you know, to me, Iowa had the best record by far. I mean, if you have six high-quality wins like they had where you're beating a top-10 team,
mm-hmm.
and you're playing these teams, you know, consistently week after week after week, I think it's pretty compelling.
So why? What was Ole Miss's record for the season?
What was the what? I'm sorry?
What was Ole Miss's record?
9-0-1, but one of the games was against a D2 team.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then they got tied by LSU, who was unranked. And then they played an unranked team in the Sugar Bowl and won in the last 2 minutes. And the team they played had four interceptions. And, you know, Mississippi wasn't mm-hmm. very good that year, but they just didn't play anybody.
Yeah, they went 10-0-1, and Washington went 10-1. And what's interesting is, according to AI, which, you know, there was five different teams that won some type of national title recognition. Iowa won it from something I've never even heard of that I don't think exists anymore.
What was it?
Now I'm trying to find it. Let's see.
Lichtenhaus?
Yes. That, yeah. What is that?
It's just a mathematician who would come up with a way to pick the best teams through some type of a...
Okay.
Algorithm way back when.
Okay. Yeah, and Ole Miss went 10-0-1. They were selected as national champion by the Football Writers Association. Isn't that who also picked
that's
Iowa?
Picked Iowa
in 1958.
Yes.
Okay.
In 58, yeah.
Yeah.
But you have to go back and look at that vote. It's the vote of six people voted.
Okay.
You know, they get a committee and, you know, if you want to look at somebody, look at James Bottrobbers.
Now, who's that?
I think he's the greatest pole guy out there.
Oh, okay.
He every year, just because he got tired of people, you know. Have you ever known anybody who votes in the poll?
Yeah, I have before, and fellow sports writers. Yeah, you're talking about the AP
yeah.
Top 25
poll? So when that happens, do you present your reasons why you're voting? Or do you just say you're not voting for this?
It's been a while since I did it, you know, but no, I don't remember doing that. I just remember getting calls from, hey, you haven't done your vote yet. Could you please hurry up? But no, it's yeah. an inexact science and what have you. But no, you do make a compelling argument. And what I like about it, Will, is I wasn't obviously old enough to remember any of this. Tom, you barely are.
Uh-huh.
But you also bring back the spotlight onto an era of Iowa football that to me is mystical. I mean, the every years, late 50s, 1960. And so did everyone know in 1960 that was Evie's last year? Had he announced that prior to the season?
Yeah, oh, yes. Yes, he had, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. In fact, in the book, I believe I talk about how a lot of people there who could see that, you know, Iowa was so inexperienced. They had, of their 11, remember, they're playing both ways, too, remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one platoon football, yep.
Yeah, from 53 to 64, you know, they went back to one platoon football. And when that happened, that became a real issue, you know, from the standpoint of your schedule.
Okay.
At that time, yeah, you had to have a lot. You had to have a couple soft games, as you said, soft teams like Mississippi was playing. And say, for example, before Iowa played Minnesota, Minnesota played Kansas State when you know they were the worst program in college football at that time.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other hand, Iowa had to play Kansas, who ended up winning the Big 8 that year, and was a very good team with John Hadle,
yeah.
Curtis McClinton, and Bert Cohn. Yeah.
I mean, the strength of schedule argument is definitely on Iowa's side. You can say that.
The timing of the poll is odd, though. You're right. If they had taken in the results of the
Iowa may
have, snuck in.
Well, I wanted to ask you, Tom, I'm not saying he's completely convinced, but he said before on the radio, he believes that if Evie hadn't retired at the age of 42 and kept coaching, that he thinks Iowa would have become Nebraska before Nebraska. Do you share his sentiments on that?
Well, I have the greatest amount of respect in the world for Evie. And I heard that you have his daughter, who's been on your...
Yeah, Marion.
It's one of the best, maybe the best interview. I mean, we've had a lot of great interviews, but she was on for about an hour, and man, she was transparent. It was a great interview.
It was fantastic.
Tom knows her through social media, right? Or
no, she was my
my
teacher when I was a senior in high school. She taught something called political processes.
You've and kept
she
up was with her through social
great.
Media.
Yes, we've been friends.
But
yeah,
she was great. She didn't sugarcoat anything. It was
What's her first name? Marion. Marion?
Yeah, she told a story about when one of Evie's sons got his Halloween candy stolen, his bag. Evie took the son, took him in the car, and they drove up and down Summit Street looking for the kids who stole his candy. And that I could just see
Evie. And found them.
And I could just see Evesheski doing that.
I think Evie was remarkable. I mean, unbelievable. But, you know, like he says, he married well. You know, his father-in-law was a very established politician and
yes.
lawyer in Michigan. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually...
And so,
Evie's house on Summit Street, the one he lived in, I walk by it often when I'm on my walks, and I always think about him, because that was a magical era. I mean, that stretch from 56 to 60, I mean, it was some as good as Iowa football as there's ever been. I mean, it was a glory era, and your book brings back so much of that. I got to say, some of the photos you have in there, the colored photos that you got from the universe, are great of the players. I mean, it just brings back so many memories.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, those were colorized by my son using AI.
Really?
Yeah.
I would not have thought that. I would have just that shows you what I know. But boy, tell him he did a good job. It really worked, because there's a lot of really neat illustration in this book. It's easy reading, too. And now for our listeners, how can they get a copy of this book? What's the process?
All they have to do is send an email to AAM@Radix. I'll let my partner... I'm
going to
tell you here, who's sitting with me.
Okay.
You can email AAM@RADIKS.net.
Okay. And what's the cost of the book?
It's free.
It's free. Wow.
Holy cow.
Wow. I guess you can't.
You can't beat that.
You can't beat that. No. So all you Hawkeye fans, if you want some, I would recommend this book even if it wasn't free, because there's a lot of great information in it. It brings back a great era, but there you go.
So free shipping even?
Absolutely.
Wow. That's the best deal I think I've ever heard of.
Well, thank you.
And how did you...
Well, we're trying to do our best for this. I had the good fortune of meeting Wilburn Hollis. Mm-hmm. And spent a lot of time with him, you know, preparing this book. And he was one of the most humble men I've ever met in my life.
Yep.
He never spoke about himself. And if you look in the book there, you can see, you know, because I included copies of the Des Moines Register and the Cedar Rapids Gazette, you know, every game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he had to be the most recognized person in Iowa in 1960, because he was plastered all over the paper.
Yes, he was.
You know, especially on Sundays, yeah.
Yeah, I remember interviewing
and,
him.
Well,
go ahead, sorry.
No, I was just saying, and then, you know, unfortunately he passed away 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And true to form, you know, he told his wife he wanted, you know, nobody didn't want any type of a ceremony, just a family type of deal. But his widow invited us over, and that meant a lot to us, because we had grown to, you know, really admire the guy.
Good man. Great quarterback,
and,
too.
Yeah. So, and the other day, I went over to take a copy of the book to his wife, or ex, you know, she's 91 now. Hmm. And I took the book over and I said, do you have any other addresses of some of the other players? And she goes, well, I have Jerry Morin's address. Mm-hmm. He was the captain of the team mm-hmm. that year.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, and it happened to be about 10 minutes away. And so we went over just cold, and I felt kind of bad about that. But I thought, we didn't have his phone number. We just had his address. So I knocked on the door, and he was the nicest guy. And I gave him a couple copies of the book, and I had a really big picture of the 1960 team and presented it to him. And the guy just was so emotional. He got welled up, and, you know, got tears in his eyes.
That's really
cool.
And
it just meant so much to him, you know, that they were being recognized.
Sure. No, I can. I'm just glad to hear there's still guys alive from that era, because there's not many. And I know, like, I know Willie Fleming wasn't on that team, but just your book and reading it and everything kind of got me motivated to do some. I mean, from what I can tell, Willie Fleming is still alive. He's 87 years old. He lives in Ohio now. The last time I checked, he was living in Vegas.
Yeah.
But well, there's not many left. And it's good that you're bringing attention
not.
To it.
Well, like, say, for example, that's why it's so amazing. I thought it was a good omen that Coach Ferentz hired Tom Moore.
Sure. he was on that team.
Because Tom Moore was the kicker on that team.
Yep.
As well as, running the scout team. And then also it was unfortunate that Bernie Wyatt passed away.
Yeah.
When he did, yeah. Because he would have been very interesting to talk to.
Will, I'd like to add a couple of things here. Number one, the first Iowa game I went to was in 1960 and was Wilbur and Hollis. I remember him taking the ball around right end and kind of right in front of us. And also, my father had a bunch of films that we watched over and over and over again, the Rose Bowl films and the Evie era film. And
the era of Evie.
Yes, and that was just fascinating. And we watched those, 100 times probably.
Are you going to tell them about the prank phone calls?
Yeah. Well, if you go on YouTube, they're all on there also.
Yes, they are. Yeah, no, like I said, you've kind of rekindled my fire for that era. I'm doing a lot of research, and I'll say it. Tom used to call it. What would you guys do?
Okay, here. my brother Steve and I would call up people on the coaching staff, unbeknownst to my father, to the coaching staff and the basketball coaches and stuff, and sing beer commercials to them. And I'm flabbergasted to say they never hung up.
Even Evie?
No, nobody hung up on us.
That's pretty amazing. Yeah.
And
it
when
speaks
my
to the character of the players. Yeah.
When my father found out, he was just livid. He said, do you know I could lose my job over this?
Which I don't think you could have.
I'd probably not. But it did put an end to the singing phone call.
Well, speaking of Marian Evesheski, it'd be nice that you get a hold of her and let her know about this book. Tom could help maybe get a book to Marian, because he still keeps in touch with her on Facebook.
Yeah. I'll tell you what.
That'd be great.
Yeah, Will, I will send an email to aam@radiks.net. And can you send me a couple of copies? I'll send one to Marian.
Absolutely.
And
we'll send more than a couple.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, Will,
we're
going
to
put.
We hope to meet with the Iowa. You know, we sent copies to Coach Ferentz and to Beth Getz. And we hope, they'll be able to do something to honor the team.
That'd be nice. No, that would be nice. I mean, and the fact that it is Evie's last team kind of just adds to the mystique. And we're going to put this podcast up on Hawk Fanatic on the cover. I'm going to do what I can to help promote this, because I love promoting.
Oh, appreciate
good,
it.
Love promoting good causes. And Hawk Fanatic is free, so you don't have to have a subscription to it. So it'll be accessible to all Hawkeye fans if they want to get more information on this. And I wanted to ask you, the 1960 team, was Hollis, was he the star player? Because, when you go to 50, Randy Duncan, who were the star players on the 60 team? Because there seems like there were so many.
The star players on that team, yeah, I'll tell you exactly. They had, at that time, remember, they're playing one platoon. So
yes.
There's only 11 people on the Big Ten, all Big Ten team.
Okay.
Iowa had three players make first team All Big Ten. They were Wilburn Hollis, Larry Ferguson, their star running back, and then Mark Manders, one of their offensive guards.
Okay. Oh, he was tough.
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah, he was very good. Also on that team, they had Sherwin Thorson. Remember?
Oh yeah,
who was Thumper. Also NCAA wrestling champion.
Just his photos are scary.
Oh, he was.
Yeah, they are.
I saw him wrestling in the North Gym when I was a kid. He was at practice, and, man, he was big.
He was. All right, well, I'm going to put you on the spot. Who wins between the 1960, 58, and 56 teams?
Say it again.
Who wins between the 1960 Iowa teams versus the 58 and 56 Rose Bowl winners? Which one do you think was the best team?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a very good question. I don't know.
I don't know if there is an answer.
I'd say, whoever Coach Evashevsky would pick.
Okay.
If he's coaching them.
Yeah, no, those are three of the best teams. And, Tom, you got...
Well, I would maybe go with Randy Duncan's team, but that's... You know, who knows? It's hard to compare.
And then Olin Treadway was... Or, no, Wilburn Hollis was the quarterback. And it seems like as a player, Wilburn Hollis, I'm not... Maybe he was a little ahead of his time. And... And he was from Boys Town, Nebraska.
Yes, he was right here.
Okay, so that's right in the Omaha area. Okay.
Yes. But the thing about Wilburn that's just remarkable, they could actually make a movie out of it, is that he came to Boys Town at the age of 9 years old. He lived in Pawtucket, Mississippi, which was. Do you remember the movie Mississippi Burning?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Remember it well. One of my favorite
movies. Okay. Where they killed the four civil rights workers.
Yes. Yep.
That was right where Wilburn lived.
Okay.
And he was a product of a mixed marriage. His father was black. His mother was white. And his father one day... don't know the circumstances, but I know he was murdered.
Wow.
By someone. Yeah.
God, you're right. And, that would be an interesting movie.
And then what happens is that there's a social worker there who sees Wilburn and his mother living kind of in the woods. And she thinks that he's got a lot of potential and she feels horrible for him. So she writes a letter to the head of Boys Town. And asked him if they could take him in. And Father Wegner, Nicholas Wegner, answers the letter and says, let's make arrangements and get him up here. So he travels to Omaha at the age of 9.
Wow.
That's a great story.
That is a great story. That's your next project, Will.
Yeah.
There's your next project. That'd be an interesting book, too. That would be an interesting movie. But I do remember interviewing him when I worked at the Press Citizen. He was very humble, very soft-spoken. Actually, was... Whenever I was doing a feature on him, but he kept talking about everybody else. I couldn't get him to talk about himself. That's what I remember
about him. And that's how he is,
But he was also about 6'2", wasn't he? About 6'2", 200 pounds. I mean, he was big for that area.
Yeah, very solid, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when you guys were talking about the next year in 61, remember, they started the year number one.
Yes, he did. Yeah, that didn't go so well.
I knew you were going to say.
Well, yeah. Remember, the first game against California, Larry Ferguson blows his knee out.
Yeah.
And then the second game, Wilburn, out at FC, Wilburn breaks his right wrist.
Yeah, you're right. It was.
Yeah.
Jerry Burns used to live right down the street from you, right?
Yeah, Jerry Burns lived two doors down from us on Crestview Avenue in Iowa City. So I remember. I remember Jerry. Go ahead.
And I was just going to say, I asked Wilburn, I said, what was the difference between Coach Evashevsky and Coach Burns? And he said, well, I love both of them, but it wasn't a contest. He said, just nobody, it had nothing to do with Burns. It just was nobody had the presence and the command presence of Coach Evashevsky.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
And
wasn't he?
Pardon?
Wasn't he kind of scary too? And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, he did teach arm-to-arm combat, during World War II.
Yes, he did, yeah.
He wasn't much older than the players. I just remember one of the players from back, a friend of mine from a long time ago, his dad, his girlfriend's father, what was it, maybe Bill Lapham, or does that name ring a
bell? Yes, it does.
I remember him telling one
Bill
time years ago, the weird thing about it, he goes, you know, it was just weird knowing that probably the toughest guy on the team was the head coach, you know? And but he goes, that wasn't a put down on the players. Evie was just, that was part of his mystique.
Well, there's a story in the book I thought was quite humorous, actually. When Fritz Kreisler, who was Evie's coach in college, and then was the AD at Michigan, he would come to Iowa for meetings and different things, and he liked Evie a lot. And so he'd come and visit and stay a couple of days. So one day he has Sherwin Thorson and a guy named Earl McQuiston asked to take him to the airport. You know, over to the airport. Evie asked him to take him to the airport. And so on the way there, they said, tell us something about Coach Evashefi, And he says, he's the toughest guy I've ever seen. And so he said, he played football like a stopped-up toilet. And they go, what, stopped-up toilet? What's that mean? He goes, he didn't take S-H-I-T from anybody.
Wow. He was also Tom Harmon's lead blocker on his way to the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And wasn't Bill Lapham a good player?
Yes, he was.
Yeah,
yes,
okay.
He was.
This was years ago, and I may not have all the facts. I just remember him sometimes saying that, our head coach was a one-of-a-kind character. And, no, it is a fun era. Again, so, Tom, you got we could talk about this all day, but we know you're busy. We appreciate coming on. We want to do whatever we can to promote this book. It's a great book. And
you
Hawkeye fans.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm glad that you read it.
Oh, the other thing about it, Will, it's a kind of book you can pick up and just look, because there's so many photos, it's a repeat type of book, if you know what I mean. You pick it up and I go back and find myself looking at those colored photos. I'm like, look at this. This is from 60, over 60 years ago. And it looks like it's right now.
Almost all the original photographs back then were black and white.
Yeah, you're right. And I guess I should have thought that. But no, your son did a great job with that AI. I mean, AI's got some good use. And that shows you how it's a very interesting book. I wanted to ask you, how did you pick Gordy Bohannon to write the foreword? How did that come about?
Well, he was the only person in Iowa that I've ever known, that was close to this.
Oh, okay. So I get it. But it works. I mean, he was the quarterback on the Rose Bowl team, 1981 Rose Bowl team.
We met down in Grand Cayman one year.
Okay, okay.
When Iowa basketball was playing down in the Cayman Islands a few years ago.
Were you there?
No, I wasn't.
And we became friends. He handles some finances for us. They do a great job, Gordy and his family. The first family of Iowa sports.
Well, in a lot of ways it is. I mean, and they cover all different sports too. So, this is a really exciting time. And again, I will do what we can to help you with this. I want to stay in touch with you, Will.
Thank
I appreciate it. And I want to thank Mike Halas for connecting me with you. Mike's played
Mike's.
Hopefully you did see Mike wrote a really good story about your book. We put it up on the website.
We appreciated it a great deal.
No, you bet. Like I said, I'll stay in touch with you, Will, and if you have anything you need from us, Mike gave you my contact information, right? You've got my phone number and my email, all that. Don't hesitate to reach out if you need some assistance with anything.
We won't. And if you need anything, let me know.
Will do.
All right, Will, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Yep. Go Hawks.
Okay. Will Hughes, author of Standing Up for the Hawkeyes. If you would like a free copy mailed to you, it's aam@radiks.net.
And here is the book right here. I'm showing it to our viewers.
Again, aam@radiks.net. All right, so in perfect timing, this is time for our break. We'll be right back.
1-800-800-ROSE, your FTD florist, is the only number you need to know to send flowers anywhere in the country or Canada from anywhere in the country. 1-800-800-ROSE. It's so easy, just remember one number, 1-800-800-ROSE, your FTD florist. 1-800-800-ROSE. Remember,
for a gift that your loved one will treasure for a lifetime. Find it at our family-owned jewelry store in Iowa City, Hertin and Stocker Jewelers.
We can show you diamond engagement rings, colored stones, fashion jewelry, and watches.
Our jewelers are on site, so we can design jewelry for that special person in your life.
We are Hertin and Stocker, serving Iowa City and the surrounding area for three generations.
Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, downtown Iowa City, and HertinandStockerJewelers.com. Ask for Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of us is always there.
Don't wait for an emergency to get a backup for your car keys. Unlike the olden days, car keys have gotten extremely complex. Mike's eKeys for Cars can generate the most technically advanced automotive keys that are on the market today. For spares and lost keys, Mike's eKeys for Cars can produce most conventional transponder, high security, and remote head keys. Mike's eKeys for Cars will keep you on the road. Call 319-330-9185 and schedule an appointment today. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 319-330-9185 today.
If you live outside the city, you already know the struggle. Slow internet, drop calls, endless buffering, and promises from providers that never deliver. Well, now, things have changed. Big Dog Tech Solutions is proud to now offer Starlink Home Internet, bringing high-speed satellite internet to homes, farms, shops, cabins, and RVs across eastern Iowa and beyond. Starlink delivers fast, reliable internet where traditional providers can't. And Big Dog Tech Solutions makes it easy, setting up installation, networking, Wi-Fi setup, and local expertise you can actually call and talk to. So whether you're working from home, streaming TV, running security cameras, gaming, or just tired of terrible internet, it's time to upgrade. Call Big Dog Tech today at 319-395-0800. Or go to bigdogtech.net, that's bigdogtech.net, and ask about Starlink, technology that works where you live.
Hi, I'm Jim Street, owner of Streets Maintenance. As a licensed, insured, and bonded master plumber, I specialize in all plumbing repairs, including but not limited to water heater and sump pumps to toilet and faucet repairs and replacements. As an Iowa City native, I know how frustrating it can be when any part of your plumbing system breaks down. That's why I only use trusted brands and quality materials. I offer same-day, next-day service coupled with a fair price. I also offer general services to mobile homes. For more information about my business, I'm online at streetsmaintenance.com and Facebook, or give me a call at 400-4483.
Streets Maintenance. Honest plumbing at a fair price.
Hawkeye fans, you love watching the black and gold. You know Hawkeye black and gold. As a Hawkeye fan, there are no better colors than the Hawkeye black and gold. Hi, I'm Steve Anderson. When you're buying, selling, or refinancing your property, consider the green and white team, Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Give us a call at 351-8600. Hawkeye Title and Settlement, the team you love, the people you trust.
Don't let just anyone take care of your smile. At Diamond Dental, you can expect compassion, expertise, and a personalized care plan to protect your teeth for life. With more than 30 years of combined experience, Dr. Forbes and his staff are prepared to tackle even your toughest dental problems, leaving your smile healthy and sparkling. Diamond Dental offers a full range of general and cosmetic dentistry, as well as dental treatment options for snoring and sleep apnea. It's never too early to start thinking about what's best for your smile. Schedule an appointment today by calling 319-390-3703 or visiting the office at 5815 Consul Street Northeast, Suite D1 in Cedar Rapids. You can also visit DiamondDentalPC.com for more information. Dr. Forbes is a proud sponsor of the Hawkeye Wrestling Club and the Inner Circle. Let the Diamond Dental team provide superior care for your entire family.
Ready to transform your home with a fresh look? McCarran Painting is known for unique designs and color expertise honed over 20 years serving Iowa City. Offering high-quality interior painting services and a commitment to doing things right. As a local, woman-owned business, McCarran Painting provides free estimates, honest evaluations, and clear communication. Their attention to detail and dedication to treating every home like their own is what keeps customers coming back. Call 319-325-1686. That's 319-325-1686.
This is Leah Pesha, and I've been saying, hit a deer, call Premier, for years, and it works. Deer divots and dings do damage, but Premier Auto will do right by you. That's what my dad Nathan's driving at and dreams about. Do yourself a favor. When your car is dinged, be a deer and call Premier. The deer don't like Premier, but you will. Premier Automotive, North Liberty's premier auto body repair shop.
Hit a deer? Call Premier. When you go to a family restaurant, you want three things. One, a wide selection of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items. Two, you want those selections to be affordable and delicious. And three, you want to be treated like family. You get all three at the Midtown Family Restaurant. Breakfast items available anytime the doors are open. Legendary tenderloins, onion rings, and hot roast beef sandwiches. Daily specials at each location, and no matter if you're coming in solo or with a group of 20, you get the same special family treatment. The Midtown Family Restaurants at Court and Scott Streets and at the Walmart Plaza on Highway 1 West. Follow them on Facebook or at MidtownFamily.com. The family's waiting for you.
GT Carr, owner of Supple's Building and Remodeling, has been offering unmatched service and quality for over 25 years. The trained professionals at Supple's Building and Remodeling will install and guarantee the products used in any job, no matter how big or small. They also stand behind their work and offer no-nonsense, exceptional customer service from design to completion and beyond. Whether it's a simple window replacement or a major house addition, you'll have the confidence that Supple's Building and Remodeling is committed to quality. Visit Supple's.net. Or call them today at 319-337-2246.
If you're looking for a trusted insurance guidance from someone who truly understands your needs, you can turn to me, Tiffany Rao, independent insurance agent. I specialize in Medicare and senior products, and I also offer coverage for those under 65 through the ACA marketplace, along with long-term care and cancer insurance plans. As a proud second-generation insurance professional, I bring local expertise and personal touch you can count on. Call me today at 319-631-4795 and let's find the coverage that's right for you.
When someone is kind enough to share their time with us, we better make it worth their while.
They don't want to do the, people call it the game, right?
Patrick Gaines and Terry Adams of Deary Brothers Ford talk about what here for you means to them.
You don't have to spend a half a day in our dealership to get that good competitive price. We just want to try to deliver that to you up front.
And that makes me feel good. Makes me proud.
Because that's what people want. They want a fair, honest deal.
As far as a statement here for you, we want to not just say it, but live it.
Find out what it means to you at Deary Ford in Iowa City.
Your life is always changing, and a lot of things can affect how and what you save. So a good retirement plan changes with your life. At Wells Fargo Advisors, we believe conversation leads to financial clarity. So start a conversation today. Wells Fargo Advisors, together we'll go far. For information locally, call 338-3799 or 866-217-2369 or stop by 501 12th Avenue, Suite 201, Coralville. Wells Fargo Advisors, LLC, member SIPC.
Hello, this is Bill Eichstring from the Oxyoke Inn, inviting you to a place where you have your choice of four portion sizes. When you order our famous family style, you can take your leftovers home. You can make reservations online at oxyokein.com or by calling and speaking to a person at the Oxyoke. Compared to other places, our private banquet rooms are more affordable. But most important, our fresh food is prepared to order and our servers have a passion for serving you. At the Oxyoke Inn, we have been practicing since 1940. Go to oxyokein.com for serving hours, menus, reservations, specials, events, carryout orders, and gift cards. Oxyoke Inn, in the heart of Amana, where you'll always leave happy.
The Oxyoke Inn.
News. I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump threatening to blow up Iran last week and then last night again changing his mind, saying a deal is imminent now. Here's ABC's Mary Bruce.
Prior to Trump's announcement, Iran warned regional countries of harsh retaliation should the U.S. follow through on its threat to target Iranian energy facilities. That warning sparked Saudi Arabia's leadership to publicly urge the White House to de-escalate. The Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman speaking with President Trump. The president then calling off those planned strikes.
An off-duty state trooper and an armed citizen returning fire are being hailed as heroes for acting quickly during a mass shooting at an In-N-Out Burger in Twin Falls, Idaho. Three people lost their lives, seven were wounded, and the gunman took his own life. The wildfires in Spokane, Washington are being called the worst natural disaster the region has ever seen. Firefighters from several states and even as far away as Alaska have been flown in to help evacuating families returned. This is ABC News.
KCJJ Weather, brought to you by Plum Supply.
Plum Supply, kitchens and baths. Your home never looks so beautiful.
meteorologist Rodney Price. A gorgeous Monday afternoon, abundant sunshine at mid-80s and light southeast winds. Overnight turning mostly clear, lows dropping back into the mid-60s. It will be a little bit warmer going into Tuesday, mostly sunny skies, highs in the upper 80s, and then more clouds on the way Tuesday night with showers and storms. That's the forecast on the mighty 1630 KCJJ. It's 75 at our studios.
From the Hertine and Stocker studios in the heart of the Hawkeye Nation, this is the mighty 1630 KCJJ Iowa City.
Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, making memories, making moments.
We're back.
Are we back officially?
Sure.
That was good. Good talking to, love talking to longtime Hawkeye fans. It's
right
always
right about your age. Same, right about. Yeah. So, but yeah, he has had it pretty easy as far as having to coexist with Nebraska fans over the last 15, 20 years since I was, what, won 9 of the last 10, I believe, in the series.
I think
10 of the last 11, something like that. It's been very one-sided. And I'm not sure how good Nebraska is going to be this year. I don't think they're going to win more than 8 or 9 games at the moment.
I haven't looked at their schedule.
Pretty much now, every schedule is going to have at least 3 or 4 pretty difficult games.
That's true.
I'm not sure what their non-conference schedule is, but their non-conference schedule has been pretty lame the last few years, and yet they still find a way. Remember, they were 7-4 going into last year's game against. Weren't both teams 7-4 last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, and but they were not a very good 7-4 team.
Okay. Ohio University travels to Nebraska, game one.
They should win that, 1-0.
Bowling Green.
2-0.
At home. North Dakota at home.
I mean, they should win all three of those games.
Yeah,
they don't win all three of those and they got problems.
Nebraska at Michigan State.
That's
interesting. Probably they'll be favored.
Most people are picking Michigan State to finish either next to last or last with Purdue. So that one's a toss-up almost. But I would maybe give Nebraska a slight edge, but again, would not be surprised at all if they lost there.
Yeah,
a
slight edge.
But because we don't know what Michigan State's going to be. Maybe Jazz will just run up and down the field on them.
Okay, Maryland at Nebraska.
I think I'm going to give Nebraska. If it was Maryland, I'd give it to Maryland.
Yeah.
But still, we're hesitating with both of these.
Well, one of the reasons is Loxley's teams always start strong and look good, and then when they get into the meat of their schedule, they can't do anything.
They're much better usually at home. They're not a very good road
that's
team.
True. And then the following week, October 10th, Indiana at Nebraska.
I think, you imagine if Cignetti loses that one?
Oh, my God. So I think Indiana will probably win that one. Then Nebraska gets to travel out to Oregon. They will not win that one.
So they're right now is at minimum 2, maybe 3 losses at this point.
Washington at Nebraska.
That's the kind of game if Nebraska is going to win more than 7 or 8. They have to win a game like that, but I'm not confident that they will. If it was
either.
In Seattle, I definitely would pick Washington.
Yeah. Nebraska at Illinois.
I'm going to pick Illinois.
I would too. Nebraska at Rutgers. Should be a tough one.
Should be a tough one. See, that's where if it was Iowa, I'd say Iowa. But I'm not confident in Nebraska. That's another one of those toss-ups.
And then the Nebraska finishes the season with a tough duo, Ohio State at Nebraska.
Ohio State.
Then Nebraska at Iowa.
Iowa. So they're right now, just even giving them the benefit of the doubt, we just identified what we think will be at least 4 or 5 losses.
Oh, yeah.
And then 2 or 3 toss-ups.
Maybe more.
So, again, I would be stunned if Nebraska went like 9-3 or 10-2.
Oh, if they do.
Which is what they're dying to do.
They do, Rule will be up for coach of the year.
And I just don't see it happening.
No.
So it'll be interesting to see. Well, you know, with Iowa, like I said, I'm 8-4 with Iowa, but closer to 7-5 than 9-3. Partly is the schedule. I think they're going to be 3-0, but I also think they're going to be 3-3 at the midway point, and that's no disrespect. That there's nothing disrespectful about saying they're going to lose to Michigan, Ohio State, and then lose at Washington. That's just kind of going with how I feel, and I think you could make a strong case for them losing those 3 games.
Yeah, you can.
You really could. Now, which one's here? Is it Ohio State?
Ohio State.
Okay. Yeah, I just don't feel real confident about them going up to Ann Arbor and winning that game. Yeah, I know they can do coach, but still a lot of Michigan players. I think Bryce Underwood's going to be a lot better this year. And they've got Brian Jordan Marshall, the running back, but they also got a freshman named Savion Hyder, who's from Virginia, I believe. He's one of the top running backs in the country. He enrolled early and was a big hit during spring ball. So they're going to have a really good 1-2 punch. And it's Michigan.
They generally do.
They generally do. So, yeah, 3-3. Remember, the 2008 team was 3-3 after six games, and it got its momentum going. And see, I've got them 3-3, but I have them going 8-4. I'll have them only losing to at Illinois down the stretch, uh-huh. because Iowa's second half of Iowa's Big Ten is very winnable.
Yes, it is.
Very. It's a like it's an old West Coast, old legends and leaders type
That's
thing.
That's right.
It's a very easy, I don't want to say easy, but very winnable games on that schedule. Northwestern, Nebraska.
And Wisconsin struggled mightily.
I'm not convinced that they're going to be anything above average at best right now, so we'll see. It's not that far away. Media Day on the 14th. First game on September 5th, a little over a month away, Captain. You're getting fired up, aren't you?
I am fired.
Were you fired up last night for the Fever? Huh? What about the Fever?
I didn't think they would win it.
I didn't either. When they cut it to two, I never felt like they were going to win it. No. It just never felt like that. Now, the first half, the defense was ridiculous. Both teams, but man, Indiana's defense.
Completely
in the first
ridiculous.
Half was
they just don't have a defense.
I mean, they did in the second half, but. You saw what they did in the second half to slow down Olivia Miles. They basically double-teamed her anytime she... But that takes defenders away from other parts. That's why Williams had so many gaps to the basket. She's good.
Boy, she had a heck of a game,
She's
didn't she?
She's really quick. Minnesota's just
That's a great team.
That's just a great team, and they're well-coached.
Hello. Hello. You got phone problems.
Are you up on the moon there, friend?
Hung up. You gotta try again. Cause
you cut him off.
Well, he's got
the technology ain't functioning. You don't want any part of it.
Dealing with it.
You don't like bad technology.
No.
I was called Mr. Technology at the Press Citizen, but that was not a compliment. I think I won an award one year. They named me Mr. Technology, they're like, you realize we're making fun. We're laughing at you, not with you.
We used to call Jim Albrecht that.
Mr. Technology?
Yeah,
that was my nickname at the Press Citizen, among other things.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, so. That you can't share with our audience?
Probably not.
Hello.
Damn cell phones.
Yep.
Hey, have you guys seen any of the video of the new Northwestern Stadium at all?
I have.
Yes.
I have. It's impressive.
It is really nice.
Oh, my God. It is stunning. They're going to be, every seat's going to be. Is tremendous.
It is. You know, their basketball arena is the same way. Their basketball arena, what they did with that is really neat, too.
And their practice facility.
And what I like is they didn't get carried away with seats. They're still roughly between 35,000 and 40,000 seats. That's perfect for Northwestern. I'm with you, though. It's really neat. And their weight facility looking over Lake Michigan, they've got a real neat thing going there. Now, it's still not easy to get in there, academic-wise.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if they can sell tickets, though.
Without question.
That will be a really strong home field advantage.
I agree.
I mean, it's like one of those new soccer stadiums that, I think it's 36,000 is what the capacity is.
I think that is
But I was in Chicago last weekend, and they had a bunch of video of the players on the field. And, man, it just looks tremendous. So
it does.
Do we play there this year?
Yes, we do.
Yes. And I'm looking forward to it. And I will say, I think they have a good coach. David Brown, I think, has done a really good job under tough circumstances. They're competitive every year. So, no, you're right. Their facilities, they've really upgraded them. They've made a huge financial commitment. And, I think they're going to benefit from it.
Yeah, and I would just urge Hawk fans, you want to go to that game, you should buy your tickets now. Because
for sure.
I think once they get going, people are going to go, geez, this is a place to be on Saturday.
No, you're right about that.
Safe for a Northwestern game.
It's a neat atmosphere.
Well, part of that's going to be what the sound is like, too. I mean, if the sound stays in the facility, kind of.
That will help Northwestern.
It will be a tremendous environment. But if the sound gets out like it does at the Big House, per se.
I don't think it will, though. I think the way this is designed, the Big House is just the way it's designed. It allows the sound to escape. But I've just always liked the Northwestern layout, just the campus, the proximity to the lake. It's just, I mean, they're a weight room now. You're lifting weights. You look out there, you can see the waves beating up against the shore.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
That's cool. A lot of schools can't, most schools can't offer that.
And I think, I'm pretty sure a lot of these seats have a canopy cut around the top, too.
Okay.
I could be wrong. I could be wrong on that, but it looked like the seats were pretty steep, but really close to the field,
mm-hmm.
And they had seats in the end zone the same way. So it's going to be really tight.
Yeah.
Anyway, just the Big Ten has great stadiums. Kinnick, I think, is one of the coolest stadiums. But I also think if you're in the stands, it's a pretty uncomfortable experience a lot of the time.
No, that's true.
I've heard that from many people.
That's why the North End Zone project was so good. The seats are very comfortable in the, you know, they really are in the, they're not the cheap seats. They're very, very nice.
I always wanted to see them, you know, like take out like 5,000 seats and actually put in bucket seats around the stadium, but it's probably not doable.
That would be great if they did that.
Yeah. Well, when they air condition Kinnick, maybe they'll do that too, so.
There you go. All right, thank you.
No, it'd be great if they had individual seats. That would be wonderful. But
yeah, because I've heard from a lot of people, including you, that it can get uncomfortable.
Yeah, it can. It can.
Some people I know choose to stand, but even that can get uncomfortable for 4 hours.
It can get annoying, too.
Yeah. But I know some people, they say they stand because it's too uncomfortable to sit.
Well, there's that. And the thing that bothers me is when people stand for no reason. It'd stand almost the whole game for no reason.
Yeah, I never had a problem.
Now, the argument with that would be, well, you want them standing and motivated and helping to provide that home.
Yes, you do.
I mean, like, you don't like looking at a student section and seeing the students not standing.
No, but if nothing's going on, why stand up?
Yeah.
They're motivated. They're creating that hostile environment for the visiting team.
I never was uncomfortable sitting in the stands.
And rarely do you see students ever sitting at a game. If your students are sitting, that's not a good sign.
That's true.
I mean, I guess it's better than them not being there, but if they're sitting at a football game, and a lot of them now, they just wait for that television camera to come on them, and then, you know, then they go nuts because that's just part of the experience. So.
And it's fun.
Yeah. I saw Tavion Banks, I guess he put out an Instagram.
Yes, he did.
Farewell to Hawk fans. Obviously, Ben's moved on.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine most schools haven't moved on. This judge's ruling this late in the game is so bizarre. I mean, it's just so. But I hope things work out for Tavion. I hope he can find a team. It sounds like
too.
His agent came out on Twitter the other day and said he's already had a couple Zooms, I believe.
Yes.
With some teams. And, you know, as much as I like Tavion as a player, Iowa has plenty of wing players. Now, he's probably would be the best right now of all of them. Cooper Koch, I guess, is, you know, right. Cooper Koch and Tate Sage. But again, they just have so many 6 foot five to 6 foot eight guys that can play that small forward. I just believe Ben is kind of move on. I don't think that from Tavion's message, I don't think there's any hard feelings. And he'll find a place. He'll find a place to play next year. And now that these guys have this fifth-year option thing, but this is going to be a mess. I got people arguing on Twitter about Taylor McCabe, why she shouldn't go to grad school at Notre Dame because she's got a chance to be a Hawkeye for it. She needs to do what she wants to do. But, I mean, it's just crazy the stuff people argue about on social media. And Stolke, I guess, is planning still. I think somebody tweeted that she's still planning on going overseas.
Yes.
This would be a huge adjustment to all of a sudden just turn your life around upside down after you've already made a commitment to move on, and then boom, all of a sudden a judge rules, well, you don't necessarily have to move on. You get another year. So,
well, you know, especially, you know, Ben's got whatever money he's got allocated to his players.
Yeah, and Tavion's going to want to get paid.
Sure.
So he'll end up somewhere. I mean, and with what he did last year for Iowa and what he did for Drake, he's got a name. He'll be able to
good
sell
player.
Himself. And I'm sure there's still some rosters out there are fluid, so we shall see. And
good, solid
wish
player.
Wish nothing but the best. He was a good guy to interview, and he was. He was a good, solid player. There was times where, I mean, more times than not last year, he was the second-best player on the team. He was the only other one that averaged in double figures for most of the season. And there were times, and remember, he had that free-throw streak going for a while. I mean, he really developed into a better perimeter player than I thought he would, but he was very athletic, good defender. And again, I wish him nothing but good luck, and he was very respectful in his kind of farewell address to Hawkeye fans, and hopefully no one's ripping him on Twitter.
It's going to be a very intriguing season, I think, for the men's basketball. Well, for both men's
for both.
And women.
Because, and I mean, I don't know what to make of all these other rosters. I'm going to go out on a limb and say Michigan's going to be pretty good, even with a new coach.
And so is their women's team.
Yeah, I think Michigan's women are going to be good, and I'm guessing Maryland women are going to be good and what have you. So, it's going to be interesting,
but USC.
I'm kind of slipping out of that basketball mode now and starting to get into football mode. I mean,
a little bit. I am
Big
too.
Big Ten Media Day last week helped a little bit, but football's right around the corner. But then again, you got the WNBA. They're like just a little beyond the midway point of the season. And I think they've got 14 games left, right? They play 44, yeah. Right? They
it's
played...
pretty much the playoff structure is pretty well, or the teams are pretty well
about,
decided.
There's a lot of bad teams in the league that have no chance.
No chance.
And, I mean, the Fever now are 19-11. And let's see, Minnesota, what are they, like 25-6?
Yes.
And a lot of that was without arguably their best player.
Yes.
Although I think Olivia Miles is their best player. I mean, she was, I just...
Well, she sure was yesterday.
And to think that they, she and Hannah Hidalgo used to be in the same backcourt.
Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing. But yeah, no, Olivia, now the second half, I thought Indiana did some good adjustments defensively, but why did it take a whole half of watching her shred you for 23 points before you adjusted? I'm not saying fire Stephanie White, but their defense in the first half was not good.
The defense for both teams in the first quarter was as bad as it could possibly be. The two teams set a record for, I think they scored 69 points between them, which tied the WNBA record.
So many of the points were in transition. Transition defense was terrible. Now, in fairness to Caitlin, she didn't shoot very well, but she had a really tough defender on her. Kayla McBride is one of the better perimeter defenders in the WNBA. She's got size. Now, she did hurt her foot yesterday and stayed in the game. I thought after she did that Caitlin would be able to do a better job of shaking free for shots, but Caitlin was having trouble getting...
Her shot was off yesterday.
And her shot was off because she was rushing it. She was out of rhythm.
Yep.
Now, I do like the fact that she's starting to expand her mid-range game.
Yes.
And she's starting to shoot a little bit. It's just so bizarre talking about a right-hander who struggles to shoot going to her right. She's just what she does is just not normal for a right-handed player. She's so much better going to her left, and teams have adjusted to that. But yesterday I was impressed with how she made a couple runners going to her right, because that's what teams are giving her now. And eventually they'll have to start guarding that again, and that will open her up. But yesterday it was, of course, was a case of good perimeter three defense on a lot of those shots, and she was rushing them.
Yep.
Now, she did miss a couple wide-open ones, and there was the one where I wish she would have shot it. Instead, she threw it to Boston, who traveled. Now, Boston was more open than Caitlin, and I'm using hindsight because Aaliyah then traveled. That was a they were only down by two at that point.
That was a big sequence.
Because then they took it and scored five straight points and boom, game over.
Game over.
Yeah, so, but no, it was a fun game to watch. I mean, that's the arena that Caitlin went to as a kid because she was a big Maya Moore fan. So they had a lot of Fever and Iowa fans that were there in that game watching. And you could hear, though. You could hear the cheering when Caitlin did something well. But yeah, right now Minnesota's a better team.
They are. They're better than everybody.
Minnesota, then I think Vegas is number two right
and
now.
And they've been inconsistent too, though.
They're coming on. Well, they have, but not as much now. They've been coming on a lot lately. Their record's better than I thought it was. And what's her name? Asia Wilson. She's averaging like 26 and... She's averaging on like 26 points a game.
Yeah, she's not too bad.
She's probably going to be... You could make a case she's probably going to be... The MVP again.
I would think so.
Because Minnesota, it's more of a group where so much of what Vegas does is off of Asia Wilson. She's averaging two blocks, and her stats are incredible. And now they're starting to win a lot of games again. Dallas kind of hit they won yesterday, but they were playing. I'll tell you what, Connecticut, for being a bad team, they sure seem to be on TV a lot.
Yeah, they do, don't they?
They played Dallas yesterday because Dallas had lost two games in a row, and they were like 18-11. But Dallas is going to be a contender. They're going to be a serious player. They've got a really good team, and it will be interesting to see how the playoffs go.
Got a good backcourt, backcourt.
Really good backcourt. But no, the Fever are going to be in it to the end, but I do think if I had to pick, it's going to be, are Minnesota and Vegas, could they meet in the championship, or are they?
I think so.
Those are the two best teams. But you never know. We'll see what happens. Caitlin could get hot, because the Fever's the kind of team where, man, when they're on a roll offensively, I mean, they've scored 100 points at least 13 times. That's a record. But again, their defense is just, at times, it's terrible.
Well, maybe not, because Minnesota and the Aces are all in the Western. They're both in the Western division.
Yeah, I don't think
they all just go 1-8.
I think that's it. I don't think they divide them like the NBA does. I think they just go from records, which is I like doing it that way. But no, the Fever, they're going to be in the playoffs. They got to the semifinals last year, didn't they, with Caitlin Ayling? And so we'll see. But they have to address the defense. They've got to be better on defense from the start. They seem like their first quarters on defense at times are just dreadful. It's
abysmal.
It'll be interesting to see. I'm guessing that you think the rating's out for that game yet, or has it been too soon?
Probably not, but I'll look.
Because I'm guessing it's...
Usually it comes out afternoon, but I'll look.
But it usually does come afternoon. I'm guessing that had some really good ratings yesterday.
Yeah, I'm guessing you're right.
And I'm sure a lot of it, too, was people venting on both sides because, you know, the head coach for, you saw she was wearing, wasn't she wearing some type of
yes
tribute to trans athletes? And I'm sure yes, that pissed off a lot of people.
Inclusion,
which pisses off a lot of people. I mean, yeah. Some of the stuff we fight about now is so bizarre. And, of course, social media makes it easy to fight.
Yep, providing voice for those who should not have it.
Should not have it, and for those who take themselves way too serious. I love the people on Twitter. They're fighting for the soul of the nation. They're on the front lines. They got, like, a big flag and some AI photo of some either beautiful-looking person or, like, an eagle.
Eagle.
And they're fighting for the soul of the nation, Captain.
Yeah, well. Guns, liberty.
So when you put that microphone on every day, do you consider yourself fighting for the soul of the nation?
I'm fighting to stay awake.
Okay. Yeah. I thought you were going to say fighting just to keep my soul.
At 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm just
Where's Hunter?
Fighting to. He's day off. Got the day off.
Another day off. Didn't he have one last week, too?
Well, yeah, we do give day off.
He had a couple of days off.
Yeah. Man, he's.
Yeah.
Easy Street. When does the Iowa State Fair start?
Like the 12th or something, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, they don't have the ratings.
They don't have it yet? So the fair starts, what, like next week, you think? Or Does it usually run for about 2 weeks, the state fair? It
runs for too long.
You're not a fan?
No.
I'm not a fan, but I'm not against it either. I mean, if people like the fair, hey,
and have people
fun.
Do.
More power to you.
People love the fair.
The New York Liberty game that they played had 3.89 million.
That's a lot.
That's good.
That's huge.
Would they play New York and versus who?
You were talking about the Fever game
the
versus
Fever
New,
game.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's kind of what I would expect now.
Fever versus.
They're good games draw anywhere between 2.5 and 4 now, it seems.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Considering that, you know, before Caitlin, it was like in the I think when Lifetime carried it, when they dropped it, they had like a peak of 250,000.
Yeah.
You know.
So where Kelsey Plum was traded from the Sparks to, where did they trade her to?
Phoenix.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
So she's now with Alyssa Thomas and Dawana Bonner, right?
Yes. So finally somebody on that team that I actually like.
Yeah. And I think, do Kelsey and Caitlin like each other?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I mean,
they
not
do.
That I care. I don't care. Do you care if Kelsey and Caitlin like each other, Kevin?
I like everybody to get along.
No, they do.
No, you don't.
They enjoy playing together.
That's disingenuous.
That's not true. You're entirely.
You're not being true. You like friction, chaos.
Yes.
Radio chaos. Is that what you live for, radio chaos?
Yeah.
There you go. So, but yeah, that was, I tell you what, though, I love the noon start on a Sunday. I was fired up for that game. I was, yep. I don't usually get fired up for much, but I was looking forward to it. And again, Caitlin didn't play very well, but she still had 19 and 10.
Yeah.
So even when she doesn't play very well, she's still. Yeah. But, I mean, Olivia Miles is really, really good.
She is.
If you want to compare any guard in the league to Caitlin, it's her.
I would agree.
She deserves it. I mean, Paige is a different type of player. Olivia is different than Caitlin, too, but they both have the command of the offense, and they have both have great vision, anticipation, passing.
And she's got a little flash to her.
She does. She's got more flash than Caitlin because she's a little quicker. But I still think Caitlin's a better three-point shooter.
She is.
And what have you, so. But Caitlin had some moments, too. And I think that, what is it, Ryan Rucco and
Rebecca Lobo.
Rebecca Lobo. I think they do a good job.
I do, too.
I like Rebecca Lobo. She's a fan, but she can be critical in a nice way. There was one time where she called out, Caitlin gave up a key offensive rebound that Williams turned into a short little baseline jumper. And Rebecca just said, Caitlin needs to, you know, yeah, they want her to be more aggressive rebounding, but the first part of rebounding is identifying your opponent and blocking their path to the basket. She didn't do that on that shot, and that was a huge basket because I think it took the lead back from 4-6.
Yeah, it was a tough moment. But Caitlin says, I mean, she's a better defender than she's been in the past.
Yeah, she's not a liability.
She's not very good.
She's not very good because she's just not super, super quick laterally. But she's not by any means a liability either. And there's ways that they can help her on defense and what have you. But I did listen driving in. I knew she was going to be asked about the trans, all that stuff. And I knew she was She just doesn't really want to comment on it.
Yeah.
And you could tell from the tone, she didn't want to be talking about it. When right away the guy came with a follow-up, she's like, I've already addressed it. It was her way of saying, move on.
Slick. Yeah, she knows how to handle it.
Can I listen to what?
Sure.
I got it right here. Okay, hang on.
I think for us, like, you know, it's not really a discussion we really have in our locker room. I think it's for leagues and the governing bodies to work with their athletes to find solutions. But our focus is on basketball, and that's what we talk about and how we can get wins. And obviously, we didn't do that tonight. So you need to find an area to improve in that way.
Do you have any, you know, reaction to the...
I just answered for you.
That's her way of saying, shut up, Slick.
Yeah, I'm not going to end. I'm not going to play.
But I also don't fault the guy for trying. You know, no. He's doing his job.
Caitlin didn't want to play.
She didn't want to comment on it, and that's her prerogative.
Yeah.
And you can tell by the tone. That was not happy Caitlin. She was pissed they lost. Well, she's a competitor.
I mean, honest to God, it just, you know. And she's tried to walk it back, Cunningham. You know, I mean.
But again, she said it's her opinion. Yeah, if she doesn't want trans, that's her opinion. Yeah. She's got a right to her opinion. She does like the attention, though.
Yes.
She really does the attention.
Sure, but I mean, you know, everybody can have both opinions on it, if you think about it.
I just got a text from,
you know.
What does Roger Waters think about trans athletes? This is my...
What's he think of regular athletes? Yeah, he pisses him off. Regular athletes.
So do you think Roger Waters is for trans athletes?
No.
Do you think he's for regular athletes?
No.
Do you think he's for little puppies and kitties?
No.
No.
Lemonade stands?
No. No. He'll kick them over.
Okay. Advertising works.
Yes.
There's a website called Depop.
All right.
And it's been on our ABC radio feeds, and it's been on the TV a lot. And so this morning we got a news story. And what it is you can sell your clothes that you're not wearing on this website.
I think Amy goes on Depop. Seriously,
I got a ton of really good clothes that I obviously ain't wearing. Yeah. I should look into that.
Well, this morning on our news, we had a woman selling her roommate's clothes. all of her roommate's clothes.
Hey, whatever it takes to get a buck.
Did she say it was her roommate's clothes? I'm guessing
no,
not.
The roommate complained.
So did they actually pay you a decent amount? Because I do have a lot of stuff that's barely ever been worn.
I
may look into that.
Hey, Molly. Yeah. Amy uses Depop, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Do you make decent money or not?
Well, you can't quit your job.
Well, I'm surprised that they pay anything, to be honest with you.
It's good money.
I don't know. So on a shirt you spent $30 on, what can you imagine what you'd get for it?
Not that much.
$10? Yeah,
well,
sure.
I'm estimating I probably got 40 to 50 beautifully buttoned down shirts that have that have never been worn, that are wrapped away in plastic bags. I may look into that because, you know, you can't, when you take it to Goodwill anymore, you can't deduct that from your, that's no longer tax deductible, is it? Didn't they change that when you donate to charities like that with clothes and stuff? You used to be able to, I don't believe you
I think
deduct.
There's some that you can deduct a small amount, I believe.
But my closets are just loaded with clothes I never wear. I need to get rid of
them. Molly, are you often looking at ways you can make money without having to work here?
No.
Is that something we should be worried about?
No. Okay. I don't have that much.
Back to Roger Waters. No, I'm kidding.
So, yeah. So the Fever play twice this week.
They play Thursday next.
Yep. 6 o'clock, hosting the Aces. That'll be another tough one.
It's on Prime, so I won't be able to watch it.
And then Saturday, they got at the Chicago Sky.
Who are playing really well at home.
They are.
They're only 11-18 overall, last I checked, but they've won 6 out of 7 at home, I believe.
That's ABC.
Okay. Yep. And what time's that one?
2:30.
Okay. But I love that. I would love a noon Saturday start, too. I mean, that Sunday noon game, I like that.
Okay, it says here, Depop takes 10% of whatever the buyer paid after shipping.
So you have to show them receipts? And that leaves me out. I don't have receipts for
clothes. Well, they have, you know, the technology where they know how much it is. No, they know how much because they handle the transaction.
Some of what I'm talking about is a hand. My sister got them from the people they knew. This rich doctor had all these beautiful button-down shirts that he had dry cleaned and just didn't have them anymore. My sister thought, gee, maybe Pat will start dressing better if I get, which didn't work, but there's probably 50 of them in there. They're wrapped in individual these are polo.
Never been opened?
Some of them, yeah, polo button-down shirts that have never been worn.
You could make some money.
And maybe I will. And plus, I need to get rid of them because they're taking up a lot.
What are KCJJ KFMH shirts?
I've got a lot of those too. Do you think a lot of them haven't been worn?
We're not going to get it.
Well, you might get
a lot of the black t-shirts that I have from KCJJ. I haven't worn because they're itchy.
I've never had that.
Well, stuff is really itchy to me. I've always had that problem. Yeah. Never was a sweater wearer. I could not. I'm amazed at people that can wear sweaters like with nothing underneath them. I don't know how they can do that.
It depends what the fabric is. I can on some.
I've never
not wool. But I can't wear cotton. Some cotton.
I can't wear wool, even if I've got three or four shirts underneath it. I just
Or a cotton polyester mix. I can do sometimes.
Yeah. So no, I'll check into that. I never even realized there was stuff like that.
Yeah. So anyway, she just sold. her roommate's clothes.
Kind of funny. Without her roommate's permission, I'm guessing.
Yes. No. That's why she was arrested.
Oh, I didn't realize she was arrested. So was this on your cops thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And someone here in Iowa City or Coralville or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's frowned upon. All right. Well.
God, it's already 10:30. Thanks again to Will. He called himself Will, right?
Yes, Will Hughes.
William Hughes, again, the author of, I'll say it one last time here before we... Standing Up for the Hawkeyes, legitimate 1960 college football national champion and number one ranked team, forward written by former Iowa quarterback Gordy Bohannon.
Is that a call, Steve?
Yeah.
Hello.
Oh, Gordy. Oh. Hey, Tom.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a good story about you. I thought about you today.
Okay.
There's a fight song for Regina.
There is?
Let me look at my notes. In heaven there is no beer, that's why we drink it here. And when we're gone from here, say, sister, have a beer on the fields of Regina High School.
Okay.
And there's more verses to that when Gary Belger played there.
Well, good to know. Good to know.
You ready to get out of the sugar shack?
That's a good song. Crazy Little Shack.
Hey. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was good interviews today. That guy was amazing.
You all, I'm glad you enjoyed it. We did, too.
Evie, my dad worked with him. He ruled the roost.
Yes, he sure did. Are you going to order your free book?
Yeah, I got Bump's book. He wrote, bless his soul, which reminds me. When Evie came here, he brought all those Michigan people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bob Flora, Kodros.
Archie, yeah. It was a good staff.
It brought us back.
And they enjoyed their beer commercials being sung to them.
Those were the days.
All right. Hey, Paul, you have a good day. All right, buddy?
You as well.
All right. So, yes, thanks to Will Hughes, Standing Up for the Hawkeyes, you can get your free copy. Just copy, write this down, AAM at.
M as in mother.
Yes, AAM at radiks.net. And you can get your free copy of Standing Up for the Hawkeyes.
And it's free shipping, too. No cost. Which you don't get something like that much in these days, so
no.
Very nice of Will to do that.
All right, well, thanks for listening, everybody. Molly Suter is next. HawkFanatic.com. Check it out. It is free. Kate.